It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Here we go. 5 seconds remaining in the game. Browns defense will back up. Fields. Chased by Garrett. Flushed. Looking. Sets up. Throwing deep. Hail Mary. End zone. Deflected. Tipped and intercepted. Almost caught. And then a deflection into the hands of DeAnthony Bell. Darnell Mooney. Achingly close to a game winner. And instead, the Browns survive 20-17. And Cleveland moves to 9-5.
Mooney had it. Mooney had it on the ground.
And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
And just like that, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by BC Bank, and it's not a game, Illinois.com. It is Gabe Ramirez. Oh, my God. Let's try that again. It is Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 to score. That play cost me $4,000. $4,000. Sitting there watching game with Corey Wooten. And he's like, Gabe, well, you know, he loves my same game parlays. I just put a little bit of money on it. Today I decided to go a little bit harder. And I thought to myself, you know what? I feel really good about my knowledge for this game. And I'm going to try to win a lot of money. So I bet $175 on my same game parlay. Now, first off, I want to say this. Tyler Farrell is producing today. Holding down the fort. And he will be answering your phone calls today. I'm trying to take some phone calls. I'm trying to talk to you. I need to know. I had the wildest conversation with Corey Wooten today where he told me that Justin Fields has zero blame for today's game. Zero blame. He's like, well, Gabe, don't you agree? If it was a different play call, this would be a different outcome. I was like, yeah. I'd also agree if there were a different quarterback, it'd be a different outcome. Bears put up 17 points. Seven of those came off an interception for a touchdown. The other seven came off of a super short field after their Nettie Jackson touchdown. And then there's a field goal. Justin Fields musters up. No other offense outside of that. Look, I'm not saying Justin Fields is to blame, but to say he's blameless is a problem for me. But I would love to hear from you because that's what we're going to be talking about all night. I'm here till 5 in the morning, guys. So let's do it, man. Phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. So here's how it's disgusting. One, because you always hear about parlays falling one leg short. And this one was no different. So I'm sitting there and I had a good feeling. You always got a good feeling, don't you? I had a good feeling about this one. So I had over half of interception for Justin Fields. I was watching the last two games for Cleveland, and I said, I know Justin hasn't thrown an interception, but they're going to be over him, all over him. He's going to throw an interception. So that hit. I had over 34.5 pass attempts for Joe Flacco. That one seemed like a no-brainer. He had thrown for 44 and 45 his first two games. Duh. Over 55 yards receiving for Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper had 14 targets last game. I was like, of course he's going to go over 55 yards. And that he did. Over 2.5 receptions for Jerome Ford. Figure Bears defense will get after Joe Flacco. He'll throw it around. And he did. So I was sliding along 4-for-4. It was the third quarter with about 9 minutes left when all these had hit. And the last one, for all you people that think I hate Justin Fields, over 200 yards passing for Justin. And he had hit. He'd been throwing for over 200 yards. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching this Hail Mary. Justin at the time had 166. It was a 45-yard pass. That would have put Justin over 200 yards that last pass attempt. And my 175 would have been turned into 4,200 had that hit. $4,200. I'm sitting there watching the end of the game. I got to go on Fox right after Darnell Mooney drops the ball. I have to go on Fox. And I'm literally sitting there like, 40. Okay, yeah, Bears could have won, but I could have had $4,200. And that's what I was thinking when I did when that whole thing happened. So
how did you keep a straight face after that happened?
I didn't. I was sick to my stomach.
Oh God, dude, I'm so sorry.
And the thing is that you can't talk about that on the radio. You know, you can't, or on TV, excuse me. You can't be like, hey, Fox 32, and I just lost $4,200 because Darnell Mooney dropped that ball. Like, I couldn't tell what outcome I was more disappointed in. The fact that the Bears could have won. But with there would have been too much poetic justice there. Had the Bears caught the ball, won, and I got the $4,200 off all off the same thing. Like, that was too much. Too much to happen. Too much perfectness to happen in that situation. But nonetheless, the Bears lose, but a couple things stand out. 12 first downs. Not that Cleveland had that many more. They only had 14. But 12 first downs for the Bears was just brutal. Seems like the Bears couldn't get any like momentum going, starting with the first drive. Figure the first drive of the game, Bears have been performing pretty well for the last, you know what I'm saying, couple of days or weeks, I should say.
One more thing, too, to add to that. Sure. I told my dad right away, I'm like, I feel like the Browns right away messed with the Bears. They won the toss, elected to receive. And remember, you pointed out last week that the Bears have been doing that and they've been really successful in opening drive. So I thought that was a little... Yeah. Head games right there to not make Justin Fields get the ball first.
And it worked. It worked, most certainly. So Bears, again, 12 first downs. To me, that was wild. Justin Fields' most pass attempts this season, 40. 40 dropbacks, 19 for 40, less than 50% completion percentage. Was sacked 3 times, threw 2 interceptions, which did you think the one at halftime was an interception?
Oh, my God. Did you see? It actually hit the ground.
I saw that.
It was ridiculous.
So here was the thing. So the second interception comes by way of the last Hail Mary, right? So I kept thinking to myself, because all you kept hearing was people say, oh, the first interception is going to get overturned. So remember, I bet for the Bears to have one interception. So all I could think about was, if this 4,200 hits, I'm going to have to cash out immediately. Because if not, if I leave it in the count, then they might adjust on Tuesday and then try to take my money away from me. All things I was thinking about that were all selfish. Maybe that's why I ended up losing, because these were all selfish thoughts. It's Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score. Taking your phone calls, because I'm not necessarily sure how to feel about this one. I'm not necessarily sure how to feel about the Chicago Bears at the end of this game. I know the defense played well, but Joe Flacco threw for 375 yards. I know the defense played well and held Cleveland to 20 points, but they still got off on the last one of the second to last drive to get, you know, a ton of points. In the fourth quarter, they put up 13. That's a lot. On this Bears defense has been playing exceptionally well. So they get the field goal at the start of the fourth, then they get a touchdown and a field goal on the last two possessions. Listen, if you think back to the Lions game, last two possessions of the first half, last two possessions of the second half all ended up in touchdowns. This one, the Bears defense, just unfortunately, touchdown and a field goal. They scored a touchdown. Bears then go 3 and out. A 3-play minus 2-yard drive that results in a punt, which then leads to an 8-play, 63-yard. That's wild. 8 plays, 63 yards, 1 minute, 18 second drive. They went 63 yards in a minute 18 in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left. I mean, it's just like, you're supposed to win out. You're supposed to be playing well. But again, give me a percentage. Give me a percentage of blame that you lay on Justin Fields. All right. And if it's zero, then hold strong and tell me zero. But I'm going to go ahead and say it. What percentage of blame does Justin have on this game? That's a good one. 19 for 40. 166 yards. 2 interceptions, 3 sacks, a QB rating of 46. Solid.
I'll give Justin Fields this. He played better the second time around in Cleveland.
Oh, I don't want to hear that.
Sorry.
He played so bad, yet there's no other way to play other than better. That's how bad that was.
How about this for Justin Fields? I'll give him, I don't know how to feel about this, but it's the first number that came to mind, 20%.
So 20% of the blame for today's loss is on Justin Fields.
Yes.
That's in your mind. Second lowest QBR rating of the season. The other one came against Minnesota, so... And that he only played a half. 47% completion percentage, lowest of the season. 4.2 yards per attempt, lowest of the season. 30 yards rushing. Up there with lowest of the season. 2 fumbles today. 0 lost, fortunately. I'm going to go with 55%. I'm going to throw Lugetzi in there for like 35.
Oh, he gets majority of the blame for me.
Yeah, 35 for Lugetzi, 55 for Justin Fields. We're now at 90. 5% on Trent Taylor.
Oh.
Just because.
Tyreek Stevenson made up for it, though.
Yeah, but still. You still suck.
Oh, he had the first muff punt,
yeah,
too.
You're a momentum killer. And then 5% of the defense. But I'm going to say 55% Justin Fields, and I think that's okay.
It's such a shame because, Gabe, the defense played unbelievable today. They kind of broke in those last few minutes.
Bears defense has been playing exceptionally well. We mentioned the amount of interceptions that they had. It's quite, I mean.
Jalen had another dropped one today.
It was an interesting game overall. I mean, gosh, Joe Flacco to come in 29 for 45. I mean, he outplayed Justin Fields. And if you're going to say the Bears defense played well, and as well as Cleveland's defense, again, it's like, who are you going to then point to? It's got to be like, and then, you know, some people were like, oh, well, it's the play calling. That's why he couldn't do it. I said, damn, well, he's 19 for 40. What about those 21, you know, incompletions? All right, we can have a couple of drops. Couple of maybe whatever, but damn, that's a lot of incompletions to say that no blame goes on Justin Fields. All I know is at the end of the game, I looked at Corey and I said, so you're still cool with going forward with this? I said, absolutely. So, man, it's weird to argue with former NFL players because sometimes you question your own sanity. You're like, we just watching the same game? And Corey and I for sure were. But then at the end of it, to say like, yeah, Justin Fields is my guy. I feel confident moving forward with him after a game like that. It's like, come on. Cleveland, like, the defense is playing so well. Because what I look at is I say, okay, well, I mean, if the Bears had Joe, if the teams had the reverse of quarterbacks, right? If the Bears had Joe Flacco and Cleveland had Justin Fields, would Cleveland still win? No. No. Joe Flacco would have put up some points to the Bears. Or at least it'd be 20 to 17 Bears. And it's everybody. Everybody's in. It's like, I'm in the Truman Show for the Chicago Bears. Like, everyone's seeing something that I'm like, guys, do we not all see this? That Justin Fields is cool, but he's not great. And I think that we're, I don't know. And we do this overnight shift a lot. And I would say the majority, 80%, 85% of the people that call this show overnight on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday are in favor of Justin Fields. 85%. Please call in. Tell me more, especially today. Tell me. Call me. I'm always looking for the opposite story, the opposite side of the argument. Always. Please. I'm always willing to listen. Always. Today's going to be a tough sell. It's going to be tough for you to get on this airway and be like, these airwaves and be like, Gabe, you got to believe. I'm telling you, Marvin Harrison Jr. would have been the difference today. Like, what? Oh, if he has Marvin Harrison Jr. and Tevin Jenkins, that's what's going to happen. You're going to call me and continue to put together this wish list for Santa Claus. Santa, can I get a new offensive coordinator, a Marvin Harrison Jr. and two offensive linemen, so that therefore I can tell you that Justin Fields still is mediocre? Like, come on, guys. Be greedy. Put a quarterback at the top of that Christmas list. It don't even have to be Justin or Caleb Williams, man. That'd be Drake May. Anyone. Anything other than what we're watching right now. It's just like, I don't know, man. Am I by myself? Am I by myself here? Phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Pissed. I'm pissed I got to do these 5 hours. You're pissed. That's why you don't even want to call in. He's like, what am I calling in about? I can't argue for Justin Fields anymore. And if I agree with Gabe, then we're just saying the same thing we've been saying for the last couple of weeks. I'm ready for a move.
It seemed like the Chicago Bears were back. The defense carried the banner today, and the offense struggled once again to put up points.
It is. That's the other thing, is that I'm not here for more Chicago Bears football. Like, if you're in agreement with whatever you saw today, it's because it's not even Stockholm syndrome, but you know, you've only seen one thing and you're okay with it. You're like, yeah, you know what? I'm here for good defense, mediocre quarterback play, and a chance to win. Because that's ultimately what it is. It's Gabe Ramirez. Oh my God, drink your water. It's Gabe Ramirez, 670 to score. It's hard, man. It's not only hard because I lost the $4,000. It's hard because you want this team to win. It's hard because you feel like, you know, you sold me on this dream that if the Bears win out and if all these people lose, then the Bears are going to make the playoffs and that they're good enough to make the playoffs. You lost to a team without their starting quarterback and without their all-pro running back, Nick Chubb. The offensive line was missing two people. Their defense is banged up. Like, don't tell me this story that, like, you lost to a crappy team who's injury-plagued that is backpedaling into the playoffs. Come on. Let's go to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. I got time today. Let's go to Don out in Elmhurst. Talk to me, Don. Don, you there?
Yes.
Talk to me. Talk to me about how you're
going to... I'd like to make a case for Fields, because if you look at what he does when he rolls out, as far as passing compared to what he does in the pocket, it's like two different things. If he was in a different system where the offensive coordinator would call these plays and let him roll out instead of trying to make him a pocket passer, I think he'd be a lot more successful.
Dom, hold on. You're telling me, you're like, I love when he rolls out, not when he stays in the pocket, if he had a different system and a different coordinator. So what are you telling me, that you want him to roll out every single play?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
But how much does – I didn't say every single play, I by know. Far. But he's not a pocket passer. He's short. He's trying to pass over guys that are much taller than him. All they got to do is put their hands up. He can't complete a pass that way. He has to roll out in order to be successful. I don't say he has to pass on the run, but he has to give the threat of, hey, if I could pass, I could run. I just feel like to see the stats. What's his percentage when he rolls out compared to he's not a pocket passer? That's all I'm saying. And I blame coaching, and I blame coaching way more than I do Justin Fields. I wouldn't say he has no responsibility, but my goodness, you can't put much blame on him when you got a guy. You got to play to his strength. He goes to another team. Justin Fields goes to a different system. He's going to be a much better quarterback. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Thanks for the call, Don. I struggle with that because we're saying it as if, because I struggle, right? I struggle. I'm like, how much of it is the coaching staff who knows Justin very well and sees him in practice, sees him on a day in and day out basis? Like, how much is it of them saying, Justin can't do that, right? Like, he can't do certain things well. And so, therefore, they try to limit his abilities because they don't want him to stumble over his own feet. I don't know. I think we simplify it too much. Like, to say Justin rolls out well and he doesn't throw in the pocket well, and so therefore we need a new play caller to get him rolling out more often, and then therefore that is the solution. I struggle with that. I struggle with that. And to say, like, we can't put too much blame on Justin Fields, I struggle with that. I just want us to all be in agreement that we need something different on offense. And it's not just the offensive coordinator. Let's go to Roger out in Naperville. Roger, Justin Fields, man, if you look at his stats through 9 games in 2023, eerily similar to his rookie year. Rookie year, 159 completions to 270 attempts, 1,870 yards. Through 9 games, 162 completions, 3 more, 255 attempts, less, 1,810 yards. Eerily similar to his rookie year. But what are your thoughts, Roger, on Justin Fields?
My thought is Mr. Field is the wrong quarterback for the Bears. Because look at what happened in San Francisco when Shanahan drafted Lawrence. Oh, he's a great scrambler, blah, blah, blah. They figured out this guy cannot be a pocket passer. They got rid of him. Why can't the Bears do the same thing? You have a quarterback today was a great example. As he was scrambling, Moore was wide open. All he had to do was toss that ball to him. Moore would have gone all the way. What he does, he slips. So his mentality is, I'm going to run first. It's been almost 4 years. Bears need to get a quarterback. Let's not fool ourselves. It's not about the coaching. It's the mentality of the quarterback. You cannot have a quarterback that wants to run before throws in the NFL. That's my comment.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Roger. I appreciate it. I'm surprised more people are on the bandwagon to move on from Justin. It's surprising to me. It's surprising that if this is the quarterback play for the Chicago Bears, that we are okay. And not only are we okay, we're willing to move forward and we think adding pieces around them is the solution. Get him another. We said, all right, he has no offensive line. He has no weapons, which I agreed with. Get him better offensive line, get him more weapons. And now it's, we need a new offensive coordinator, more weapons, and more offensive line. Then we'll be able to see the real, offensive coordinator. Then we'll be able to see the real Justin Fields. It's like, bro, I mean, I seen him. I see him. He's here. It's Justin Fields. I got it right in front of me. But I'm curious what your thoughts are. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez. here on 670 The Score. Let's go to Jeff out in Burbank. Jeff, if Robert Tonyan makes that catch, I'm a couple inches closer to my $4,000. I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you what, Gabe. I talked to you last week. You hung up on me because I just kept going. So I'm going to listen to you. So what happened was last week I said Troy Aikman, and I brought up all these guys, Peyton Manning, and I said they started off with 24 touchdowns, 25 interceptions, Peyton Manning. You wouldn't have handled that. You would have had, I told my mom, actually, I said I was on The Score, and this guy, all he talks about is Fields. He hates Fields. And I said he actually hates the Bears because all he wants is a quarterback. Remember? I said all you want is a jersey. You're a quarterback fan. You don't really care about the Bears. You don't really like the Bears, and then you hung up on me. Remember?
I'm waiting for your point, but I don't control the phone, so I didn't hang up on you. But I'm waiting for your point, though, yeah.
So my point is this. You didn't see the first quarter because Tonyan, it was put in a bad place in his hands. That was a touchdown. At the halftime, you could have kicked a field goal 55 yards. That's not that bad in the NFL. He should make that kick. Also, he got just about tackled by the best defensive lineman. What's his name? The guy in Cleveland? I forget his name. The best defensive lineman. Yeah, didn't he have him? But he got out of there. You know, there's not a lot of quarterbacks that can do that. Actually, you just and then when we're up 10, it's Fields' fault we lost the game. I just don't get your theory at all.
Okay, Jeff. All right, so Tonyan, let's not forget, he almost fell when he caught that. So there wouldn't have been a touchdown, right? So had he caught
it? No.
Hold on. I let you talk, and I say four words, and you try to cut me off. All right, come on, let me get to your points that you're saying. Let me try to give you your rebuttals. Tonyan fell down, so it wouldn't have been a touchdown. Okay, field goal at halftime. Did you see the weather? Were you watching the game? Did you see the rain? Did you see the slush? Did you see how that was going on?
Did you see it?
Did you see it or no?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was curious if you saw the weather. I was curious if you saw
that. You're doing the same show this week, and you are.
Yeah, I can't tell if you saw the weather because the TV. I don't know how your HD was working or not. It was very bad weather.
Yeah.
A 55 yarder in the rain, in the cold, probably not a good idea. All right. Then up 10.
But with three?
Up 10. One of those touchdowns was a result of an interception for a touchdown. The second one was because Eddie Jackson put you on the 20 yard line. So what offense did you muster up outside of that?
Well, how come we don't run the ball?
Wait. What offense did Justin Fields muster up outside of that? Because we have to put some responsibility on his shoulders, right? For not
you put everything on his shoulders. When we're up 10, it's his fault we lost. No, the defense's fault. Why did they give up so much in the end if they were so great?
Did everyone say did the defense play well?
Not in the second half. No.
Okay. All right, we can debate. I think the defense played well overall.
Oh my god! But you gave up 20 to an old man quarterback. I mean, and
20 in the NFL is a great job. What are you talking about?
Okay, so you think Flacco is a great quarterback?
No, I think giving up 20 points is very good for a defense in the NFL.
Okay, so it's all Fields' fault. We didn't score 27, I think it should.
Again, if you were listening to the very beginning, Jeff.
I didn't. I just woke up.
Oh, okay, fair enough. So here, then I'll ask you the question that I asked in the beginning, which is why people are calling you right now. What percentage of blame do you give Justin Fields?
I think they would have won if the defense was so
You didn't
great,
answer my question. You didn't answer my question.
I think they win the game with Fields.
You literally are still not answering my question. What percentage, I just asked it for the third time, what percentage of the blame for this loss do you give to Justin Fields? Zero?
25%, because I thought he didn't play as good in the fourth quarter as he did the first three.
fair enough. That's a big percentage. 25 is a big percentage, and you're okay with that. You're like, yeah, 25% of the blame's on my quarterback, and that's okay. He played great. It's just, I don't know. It's hard, and maybe I'm being too harsh. Maybe I'm being too harsh, Tyler. Maybe I'm being too harsh. I look at this game and I think to myself, a little bit better quarterback play. Like Justin Fields was 19 for 40 for 166 yards with two interceptions, and we're blaming it on the defense. Like, this is silly. You know what I'm saying? The defense gave up 20 points to Joe Flacco. It's their fault. They couldn't hold on. The defense got an interception for a touchdown. You don't even
they should have had two pick sixes.
Yeah, you don't even have 17 points if it's not for that defense. The defense got you a tutty, and the defense had an interception that puts you right there to get the other touchdown that you almost didn't score. And now we're blaming the defense for the game, saying that they gave up 20 to Flacco. Like, are we serious? Is this how blinded we are by the fandom? And I want to be clear. I've been there before. I've loved Trubisky so much that I was blinded at 1.2. Again, it's about consistency for Justin Fields. That's what we're looking for. But this cannot be a part of the season if we want a really good quarterback. That's what I'm saying. All right, we're going to take more phone calls. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I can't see it, though. Maybe you agree with Jeff, and I'm just, the local that's right here on the radio station. But feel free to call in, because you know what? I'm here till 5 a.m. So if you are calling, trust me, I'm going to take your call, because I got none of the time, all right? 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on the Plumbers 911 Football Monday on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I'm obviously disappointed in the loss, for the guys in the locker room. Certainly, the battle was on. They certainly were battling. And, I told them what my main message was to them after the game was this, is that, hey, you always fix your mind and fix your focus on the fundamentals and details of your position. And that's what wins football games. And that's been our mantra the whole time. And then we also fix our mind on the plays we're going to make, being playmakers. And at the end of the day, the Cleveland Browns made more plays down the end than we did. And our guys made a lot of them out there today, but certainly that's what happened at the very end. And so get back to work tomorrow. That'll be the focus. And, the guys will have their eyes forward. I know it stings, and it's going to sting, and having this loss is always hard.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Bears lose to the Cleveland Browns 20-17. They put up 10 points in about last four minutes of the game to take that lead there. Gabe Ramirez on the Plumbers 911 Football Monday. It's going to be a great day on 670 The Score. Tons of guests. Before we get to your calls, I want to let you guys know I'm going to be rolling until 5 a.m. That's when Dustin Rhodes jumps in with the pregame show. Then Mully and Haw, they got three great guests for you. Holden Kruitz at 7, DJ Moore at 8, Brad Biggs 9 a.m., then Bernstein and Holmes. Got Anthony Heron and Dan Wiederer at 11 and 12, respectively. And then Parkinson Spiegel jump on. 2:40, they got Kurt Warner, 4 o'clock, Mark Grody, and then Jalen Johnson. Wish he would have got that interception. He's a ball hawk. But that would have been a great interception. I feel like we're saying this every week. Damn, I wish he would have caught that interception. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. Shout out to everybody that's hanging out right now, man. I thought this was going to be a long shift, but you could tell the people are here, man, ready to chat, and I can't wait to talk to you. Let's first start with Bob out in Downers Grove. Bob, good to talk to you again. What's on your mind?
Hey, Gabe, how you doing? You're making me a little mad, but I'll defend Justin Fields, but I want you to hear me out because I think you're the one that's not hearing the argument, right? Okay. When you can sit around and watch a football game with an ex-NFL player, and then you're going to tell that ex-NFL player that you think you can identify what's wrong with the Bears offense better than he can, that's a little ridiculous, right? So now I'm going to start with this, Gabe, right? Okay, so what specifically don't you like about Justin Fields? Because 19 of 40 is not good. Why did he throw the ball 40 times, dude? This is a play calling.
Whoa, Bob, you there? Bob, I want more. I want more Bob from Downers Grove. That was a great point. All right, clear his line, and then Bob, try to call back in. I'll have Tyler put you right back through so I can talk to you. I agree. I agree with you. It is ridiculous for me to watch a game with a former NFLer and for both he and I to watch it and for me to tell him what's wrong with the Bears. Trust me. I feel foolish, too. When I talk to him and I'm looking at him and I'm like, Corey. We're talking about Corey Wooten. Him and I do Fox 32 together, whatever. We've been doing it for 6 years, been doing this. So, yes, trust me, I feel foolish, right? Where I'm like, but then the game is played. You know what I'm saying? Like, but then the game is played. And then I'm watching the game, and then I'm like, are we not seeing the same thing? Right? Then that's when I almost feel validated. Because before the game, you're like, nah, Gabe, I'm telling you. He's like, oh, Gabe, I'm telling you, it's Justin Fields, just he's a man, whatever. And then the game happens. And then I'm like, wait. Because then it's after the game where things get weird. Because then I'm looking at him like, Corey, is that the quarterback you want moving forward for the future? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, wait, did we not watch the same game? And then, so yes, I agree. And my one rebuttal to that would be, but he's a defensive end. He's not an offensive player, right? So he's seeing it through a, this guy can run, it would give me fits, lens. Not through a, I'm worried about this guy dropping back and picking me to pieces and driving down the field in a two-minute drill for a game-winning touchdown. But I love the point. I'll be very clear. That's a great, great point. Because I agree with it. I feel foolish sometimes when I'm talking to Ant Heron on Bears Unleashed, former NFLer. When I'm talking to Corey Wooten, former NFLer. When I'm talking to Tyvis Powell, former Ohio State alum and former NFL defensive back. I feel foolish when these guys tell me that Justin Fields is the man. But there's a whole other conversation. I'll get into that another time. I'll just take another phone call. Let's go to Tony out in Chicago. Oh, we got Bob back? Get him back on the phone. I almost enjoy this yelling that you're doing. Talk to me. I'm here. I got you on the line. Bob, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Gabe. Yeah, there we go. Talk to me.
Oh, dude, I went off. I don't believe that call wasn't on hold, but I'm going to try again, all right? So we started with the fact that Corey Wooten knows more than you about football. We'll establish that fact, right?
Right.
Okay, yeah, right. So you want to blame it on Justin Fields. That's fine. 19 of 40, I don't like it either. He shouldn't have thrown the ball 40 times, right? Okay, well, how many play calls did Justin Fields make in that game? Luke Getsy called every one of those plays. Why did you line up an empty on first down in the first play of the game and try and go deep? Did Justin Fields decide that? Okay, Gabe, so you want to say that he had two interceptions. That's fine. You watched the game. You know they were both Hail Marys. Yeah. You know the first one in the first half wasn't an interception. So somebody's manipulating facts to try to support their theory. I lost money on the game, too, but I didn't lose it on Justin Fields. I lost it on Luke Getsy. Why, on 2nd and 6 with 6.5 left, you're up by a touchdown at the 50-yard line, do you decide to run play action, bootleg, get sacked for 12 yards? Was that Justin Fields' decision? No, I give Justin Fields 6% of the loss because he got tripped up on that 4th and 1 and should have got the first down. Dude, but you need to watch the game and understand what you're watching. And when your NFL buddies tell you that the play calling is crap, the play calling is probably crap. Justin Fields should have been probably 22 or 30 for that game. They should have won it going away. I lost money too. But, dude, I know what I'm watching, and you cannot sit there and tell me that any other quarterback, especially one that's in college today, would have won that game. You're crazy, Gabe.
You.
Thanks.
No, you don't got to go anywhere. We can have a chat. I know we got other people on hold, but I want to say something to you, because if you're going to say, hey, Gabe, those two interceptions at the end of the halves, which I agree with, right? One of them's probably going to get called back. Second one, Hail Mary interception, right? But are we not going to talk about the three that the Cleveland Browns defenders like dropped? Are we not going to talk about those that were in their hands? Like, he didn't have a great game, right? There were three passes that literally were in the hands of the defenders. They just dropped it. So it's not like he had some perfect game and then there was these two random footballs that got intercepted and nothing else came close to that, right? I mean, he's in there. 6%, that's low. That's very low. I do agree with you, though. First play of the game, it's on my screen right now in yellow letters. First play run, WTF, ? In yellow. It's on my sheet right here. First play, like what? And then you get into a predictable running second down that everyone knows is happening. And then that, it's like, yeah, listen, I am in it. Play calling sucks. It's bad.
And then he gets fancy in 3rd and 1 and doesn't end around when you gain 9 yards and 2 inside handoffs when the inside run was actually working.
The Tyler Scott end around was just
it's terrible. was terrible.
Let's take some more phone calls. It's Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score, 312-644-6767. Let's go to Tony out in Chicago. Talk to me about Justin Fields, Tony.
Hey, this is Gabe.
Yep, it's Gabe.
Hey, Gabe, you don't like Justin Fields, man.
I don't. I do like Justin Fields. I think he's a top.
I don't think you like Justin Fields.
Wait, but you.
Because you blame Justin.
Well, wait.
Go ahead. I'm going to.
Right, because you say you don't like Justin Fields. I'm telling you what I like about him. And then you say you don't like him. But what are you talking? Here's the thing. And this is what I think a lot of people get wrong when they listen to me. I think Justin Fields is a top 13 to 17 quarterback in the NFL. That's good. If you're 13 to 17, that's good. I think Justin Fields is there. The problem is, I don't think he can creep up any higher than that. I don't think he could be a top 10 quarterback. And that is what I'm holding him to, right?
So you know what, Nick?
Go ahead. You're right. No. I went too far. You're right. That's what I want to say.
Okay, now, for you to even give him that high of a number, you got to know he's good. Because he has nothing to work with since he's been a Bear.
Yeah.
First 2 years was with Nagy. Number one receiver was Mooney. You give him a real receiver, we see what's happening. The play calling is horrible. Horrible. He's running the offense through the shotgun. It's 3rd and 1. Why is we in the
terrible
shotgun?
Terrible. You're right. I agree.
Come on, man. You can't put it on Justin. All I'm saying, give him what you give everybody else, a real coach, a real offensive coordinator, and some real weapons, and let's see what happens. Because he only got one weapon this year, and that's Moore.
All right, so let me ask you this, Tony. Let me ask you this. Let's say the first two picks in the first round end up being Marvin Harrison Jr. and another offensive lineman, right? Let's say he gets that.
Okay.
So now you're telling me what does Justin Fields become then?
Now he needs someone in his headset because he haven't had offensive coordinator since he's been here.
All right.
The third year here. You got 2 years with Nagy. Now you got this. I don't even know what this show is with these coaches we have now. I don't even know what this is.
All right, tell me what he becomes. Tell me what he becomes.
Everybody
then,
else
though.
That's good. Give him that, and let's see what we got.
I know, but I want you to tell me what he becomes, Tony. Not let's see what we got. Tell me what we're gonna have. Tell me what we're gonna have. We have Marvin Harrison Jr. on offensive tackle.
I think we're going to be a problem. We have a quarterback that can make all the throws, and he's athletic. I don't know if you're paying. That's where the NFL is going now. So you got to build around him. And I think we're not looking back. That's what I think.
Okay.
He has nothing. You just gave him like top 13?
Yeah, 13 to 17.
Okay, and he has had nothing to work with since he's been here. So imagine if he has something to work with. There go your answer.
I hear you. Thanks for the call, Tony. I think the issue that I have with that is that I think my argument is, even if Justin Fields has Marvin Harrison Jr. and another offensive lineman and different play callers, he's still, in my mind, right, going to be a top 13 to 17 quarterback in the league.
Question for you. Do you think that's his two-part question? Top 13 to 17 quarterback. Do you think that's his ceiling, number one? And number two, do you think that either Caleb Williams or Drake May could be higher? Their ceiling is higher than a top 13, 17 quarterback.
So 13 to 17, yes, is Justin Fields' ceiling in my mind.
Okay.
He doesn't become a top 10 quarterback. He's not a top 10 quarterback in the league, right?
Do the Bears get the best football out of him? Like the Bears got the best football out of Mitch Trubisky.
And this is what I talk about a lot on the radio is that I don't know how much more is left for Justin Fields. Right. And I think that's the biggest mystery where it's like, oh, if we get an offensive coordinator and he gets more weapons and he gets another offensive line and Justin Fields is going to be a problem. But like, how much more of a problem? Right. Like, how much better are we talking? Like, what is the gap that we're still waiting for? That's a large gap. If you're saying that, can Caleb Williams or Drake May or whoever the hell it is, you know, that's coming in be that? Here's the thing. The problem that I have with the Justin Fields versus every quarterback that's coming out of college is that you're then saying that Justin Fields is better than every quarterback that's coming out of college for the rest of your life. Like, that's your argument. Oh, well, we don't know what we got in Caleb Williams. Oh, you don't know what you got in Drake May. You don't know what you got in CJ Stroud. It's like, I wish I can curse. Yeah, no, we don't know. That's the whole purpose of a draft. That's the whole purpose of having the first pick is that you have the luxury of putting these guys through the ringer to try to find out who you think is going to be that. Because to say that no quarterback coming out of college is ever going to be a top 10 quarterback in the league is foolish, right? It's foolish to say that. CJ Stroud, some would say, would be able to make the argument that he's already a top 10 quarterback in the league based off of how he's played.
I think he is.
That's my point. And that's my point. So why can't the Bears go out and draft someone that is automatically a top 10 quarterback? Someone that's that good. It's not some ridiculous, foolish notion. Remember, this draft class is better. Everyone, not just the guy who's arguing with the NFL people, but everyone is saying that this draft class has better quarterbacks and is a better quarterback draft class than last year. And the Bears are going to have the number one pick. And you're telling me that, oh, Justin Fields is better than every quarterback that's coming out of college for 2 years in a row? And then what, forever in perpetuity? Justin's just the best quarterback that's ever coming out forever? Again, that's the problem that I have with it. It's just that there's the opportunity to take a top 10 quarterback, an opportunity to take a very good quarterback. And you passed up on the opportunity last year. You have the opportunity again this year. And to just be like, we have a quarterback that, you know, he's going to get better if we do all of these other things, and you guys are banking on it. It's just, I don't know. I have trouble with that. I have trouble putting faith into a product that I cannot wrap my mind around being a top 10 quarterback in the league.
I'll put you on the spot right now.
No. You got to take more phone calls.
I'll save the question for later.
Hold that one. Yeah. 312-644-6767. People don't want to hear me ramble forever. We got Ryan out in Oak Forest. Ryan, I was out there in Oak Forest today. We were at Marcotte's on Cicero. Me and Corey watching this Bears game today.
Well, don't say, hey, no, Gabe. Hey, no. So, you know, I just wonder how the morning quarterback goes if Mooney catches that game winner. And it's like when we win, Fields does get a pass for underwhelming numbers. But if Mooney catches it, we crown just as the catalyst of the game, and rightfully so. Although I'd say the entire team put up highlights. But he didn't have a bad game, but not bad is getting old in year three. And it's a 300-yard league. The top dogs are putting up 300 week in and week out. Flacco just dropped 374 on our heads. And I'm far from a Fields hater. I'm pretty optimistic about this kind of stuff, but here's the most negative take I could say about him. If you give up 300 to him, if you give up like 275 passing yards to Justin Fields, you got to go. You got to be fired as a DC. I mean, that's what the line is.
Ryan, these are some great points and very articulate. I love what you're saying here. And not just because you're not bashing Justin, but you're being a realist.
Yeah, I mean, his first year, he did hit that 275 mark. And both coaches, they were from the Vikings and the Steelers. Both of them left. Now, the Vikings, it was Zimmer's son. So, I mean, it was kind of just like chicken or the egg thing, right? But, no, if we're talking about the Vikings, you know, it's funny you mentioned Corey Wooden, his perspective as a D lineman, right? And, teams just don't fear Justin Fields as a passer, maybe as a runner, but it's so limited. It's almost like a kick returner, right? Like having a good kick returner. Anyway, I mentioned the Vikings. I'm getting out of order here. Like, I'm not a Fields hater, but I wouldn't mind it if he played for the Vikings next season.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thought. There's definitely going to be some suitors out there for Justin Fields. That is without question. People are going to think that, you know, they have the key to unlocking Justin Fields' potential. I mean, that happens all the time with quarterbacks in the NFL where everyone's willing to take a chance on him. And the assumption is that they can fix whatever it is that's wrong. Nah, we'll do one more caller. Yeah. Before we go to break. But again, I'm here till 5 o'clock, so I'm going to take every single one of these calls. So don't you worry. You just hang tight. I mean, it's a good question, though, Ryan, in Oak Forest. And it is, you know, if Mooney catches that ball, is the narrative different to Justin Fields, right? Because then it's a 2-touchdown, 1-interception game instead of a 1-touchdown, 2-interception game. No. In my mind, it doesn't. In my mind, it's still in my mind, you didn't win because of Justin Fields. I would love a couple of those games. And I think that's my biggest issue with this game against the Cleveland Browns. I would have loved for this to have been a game that we won due in part because of Justin Fields' performance as the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Jose on the Northwest side. Jose, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Dímelo.
Hello.
I said dímelo.
Yeah, I want to talk about, first of all, I want to talk about the three miscues in the game that we had. We had one with the drop pass. Then we had one with the coaching staff not doing a Hail Mary at the, I don't even know if it was a Hail Mary, probably just a deep pass. And we could kick the field goal there, leaving points on them, leaving points. You're losing points doing that. And then you want to not, Jalen Johnson not coming up with the interception, that always comes back to get you too. Like when you don't pick off the ball like that. Plus, with the coaching, also there's no rhythm to their play calling whatsoever.
Agreed.
There's no rhythm that they ever, like, you can't go through the NFL game and game weekend week out having no rhythm to whatsoever to your offense. So that leads to Justin's demise. Also, there's a lot. If you draft a guy from USC, if you draft him, there's no. The guy from the Panthers won today. You know what I mean? You know, Justin is, he's not reading defenses right. Like the defenses show him something, and they end up somewhere. They end up where he doesn't want him to be at the end. So like he sees something and he'll just read it wrong. So that ends up he's way behind. So that goes into his preparation too. Besides all that I'm saying is that in the NFL, like, you got to win today. People are losing money. I didn't lose any money today. I wanted to put my whole house on the Bears, but unfortunately.
It's a good thing. You know? It's a good thing that you didn't, Jose. Tell me, man, I had a five-leg parlay. Darnell Mooney catches that pass. You want to know what would be different about this narrative? I'd be probably, I don't even know, man. If I was $4,000 richer today, I'd be feeling a lot better. But there were some drop passes. There were some poor coaching decisions. And Jalen Johnson, I keep coming to his defense because I'm like, at least he's there in the position to intercept the ball, right? And we're talking about a dropped interception as opposed to like a pass deflected or something that went through his hands that resulted in a first down or something. It's like he was still there. But I think overall, it's just, you know, the Bears are in trouble. Bears are in trouble because there are big decisions to be made and there is no definitive answer. But maybe you have it. Maybe you have the answer. 312-644-6767. I'm taking all these calls. I'm here till 5 a.m. It is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.